Welcome to God's house on this Christmas Eve. Will you pray with me, please? Holy, holy Lord, what a night. What a blessed, blessed night. Thank you, O God, that you have come to us. Our waiting is over. The time is here. You have come. In the midst of all the hurry and the scurry, O God, you are here. In the midst of all the packages and bows, you are here. The to-do lists are over. The celebration is here, O God. So thank you, God. Thank you that we are here in your house to celebrate your coming. Lord, for this one moment, help us to breathe in your ruach, to breathe in your breath, to breathe in your presence, to find the sacredness of this moment. Help us, O God, to just quiet our minds, still our souls, that we can listen to your voice. Oh God, raise up your cross and hide your servant behind it, because I do not wish to be seen. For this, Lord, this is your time. May my words be pleasing to you. And if they are not, shut my mouth that your word may be proclaimed. So I ask, Lord, speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. One, two, three, four. Did my Vanderbilt education come in handy? But it's one of the first things we teach our children is how to count. After we teach them where their eyes and their noses are, we teach them those very basic skills. And it's there right at the very beginning of the Luke passage. Did you not hear it? The counting that was going on. It seems that Caesar wanted to do what presidents always like to do. That's to count people, so they can once again put the taxes on us. Yeah, the tax man always shows up. That counting during the time of Caesar, when Quirinius was governor, that counting that seems to go on. We see it there. In fact, counting is important. It was what captured my attention. Did you know that currently there are 7.3 billion of us walking around on this blue-green ball we call home? 7.3 billion individuals on our planet. That's a whole lot of people. It's a whole lot of 1, 2, 3, 4s. And in fact, here in the United States, someone gets born every 8 seconds. There's been a couple of babies born in the time I've been speaking. And every 12 seconds, someone's gone on to glory. And the United States has the third largest population in the world, right behind India, and China has the largest. And we Southerners are the fastest growing region in the United States. That's because of cornbread. That's my theory anyway. I hope people know how I feel about cornbread. It's sacred. Yeah. But we love our numbers. In fact, have you ever thought about the odds of you getting here? What are the odds of you being born? Well, in the book that we've been studying for the last 4 weeks, Sent, George Acevedo actually went and talked to some Sheldon type person. Y'all know Sheldon, don't you? Okay. And they figured it out. The odds of you being born is 1 to the 10th, 2,685,000. That's the probability of 2 million people playing a game of dice with a trillion-sided dice on Earth all rolling the same exact number. That's the odds of you being born. Can you imagine what that's like? That's the odds of you being born right now, right here in this space and time. Shucks, I'm surprised we all got here. Especially my brother over there. I wanted a dog and mother brought him home and I've been upset for all these years. The odds of us getting here is tremendous. And yet here we are. Don't tell me that's chance. Don't tell me that's some big bang explosion disenvoid of the Creator God. It's because of God that we all got here, amen? Amen. It's because of something bigger than you and I that we actually get here and are upright and taking nourishment this day. The probability of you being you, the probability of each and every life that's ever lived of being on this planet is astronomical. And yet it has happened over and over again for all these millions of years. And we read again of the probability of the particularity of time. We heard it in the Galatians passage. It said, but when the fullness of time had come. In other words, there was a particular moment that God was looking at, that God was waiting on. You see, there was this plan. It wasn't by chance that all this happened. God's initial plan for us is not what has happened. God had wanted us to have a different kind of outcome, I believe. And at first, it was okay for us. But because we wanted self-determination and God said you can have everything but one thing, that one cookie jar, and what do? We went for that one thing, and we got tossed out of the garden. And then God sent us prophets and kings and rules to help us, and all that didn't work because we kept disobeying. We kept killing the prophets. We kept wandering away from the law, the hedge of protection God had put around us. God said, it's time. It's time that I go to them in a way that they can understand. It's time that I get their attention. It's time, a singular moment in time, that I go. So there was this one life, this one moment, this one life in which God said, I've got to go in a way they can understand. So God being God, God put on flesh and bones and came to us in the one way that would make sense to us. And God came to us in the form of a small, innocent, helpless child. Not in a castle, not in a palace, not in the way we expected, not in the way that it was expected at the time, not a warrior king, but in the form of a helpless, homeless child, born to an unsuspecting set of parents, born vulnerable and innocent. In a way that I would not have chosen to come. Would you? If you were God, and I'm awful glad I'm not. But what did that one life do? What did that one life do? That one life changed history. That one life changed everything. Since that one life walked this earth, everything has been altered. How we do medicine, how we conduct our laws, even our currency has been changed by this one life. How we relate to each other, how we relate to the Almighty Divine God, everything has been changed by this one life. This one life came to redeem us, to bridge for us that which we could not do for ourselves. This one life came to set us free from the chains we put around ourselves. This one life came so that we may not have to deal with death in all of its ways. This one life changed the game forever. This one life chose to do that. By his own free will, he left the splendor of heaven. This one life. I am so grateful that my God chose to come to me in a way that I can understand. I am so grateful that God loved all of creation to come down in this form, in this way, so that I and you and every 7.3 billion person need not stay enslaved to death in all of its ways. For there is no other man in all of creation that is worth loving the way we love this man. This one life. James Harnish, two weeks ago in the upper room, said, God would do whatever it takes to reach us. That is the truth of Christmas. That one life is the truth of Christmas. Amen.
Hallelujah. know you came to rescue me. This baby boy would grow to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross.